1412 West Hill in Urbana. We're in the living room. She's sitting comfortably on the sofa. It looks very pretty. And I'm sitting directly across from her in a chair. We can get started from here. Let's see, Mrs. Tinsley, this is the first question to get it started off, so to speak. Can you tell us something about when you moved to Champaign, where you're from? For starters.
Yes. I moved from Metropolis, Illinois, which is in the southern part of the state, in 1919, June the 2nd, and I've been here 60 years.
How do you remember the date so well?
Well, it stood out in my mind very well because I did write it down, but I could remember it anyway because it was a very hot day in June, and I had three little children with me, my three children. The oldest one was eight, just turned 8 years old. And I had to buy a ticket after I got on the train. They said I didn't need a ticket for my oldest child. But I got to Carbondale where I had to change trains. I had to buy another ticket. And I had to get off the train and go back to the depot to get the ticket. And oh, it was so hot, I couldn't forget that day.
Well, meanwhile, what did you do? Did you take the children all with you?
Oh, yes, I did. I wouldn't dare leave them on the train. The man, I had a basket, and I left it with the man, and he said, well, if the train would have had to pull it out, he said he was going to get off in Champaign because he knew my mother and give her the basket. But the man promised me that he wouldn't, so I did. I felt very safe about that.
What brought you to Champaign?
My mother had moved here previously in 1913, and of course I wanted to come up here and be near her, and she said work was good for women, and later on when my children got older and needed more help, that I could find something to do to try to help the family out.
What type of work were you doing then?
Well, I wasn't doing any kind at the time when the children were small. I never went out from the home until the baby girl went to school. And then I just did day work. I'd had a couple of days out, half days, and then I'd come home. I always believed being home when the children would come in from school. So that's what I did while they were growing up, just housework.
Well, I have on this list that you only lived in Urbana, that you never moved to Champaign. You know, some people live in Champaign a while and then they move over to Urbana and then live, you know, or vice
right,
versa.
Right.
You know, most of the people have lived in both the towns.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I came here, my mother lived in Champaign at the time. She had lived in both towns too, but at the time she was living in Champaign and I just stayed with her. My husband was building a house and he had to finish the house before he could come. And so I stayed with her until I could find a house. In the meantime, my sister and I would go out and look for a house and couldn't find one, only in Urbana. Mm-hmm. So I've been in Urbana ever since. It just happened that way. That all the houses I lived in was over there. And now I like to live over in Urbana.
Well, the house that your husband was building, is this it?
Oh, no, he was building a house in Metropolis. I said he didn't come with me, but he was building a house in Metropolis.
Okay, and you didn't?
And at the time, you see, we came, and I stayed with my mother in Champaign. And then I looked for a house in the meantime before we got here, and I found one in Urbana. Houses were hard to find because I'm trying to find one near the church and the school.
Well, did you live, where at in Urbana did you move to? Did you come, say, directly to this end of town? What is this, northeast end of Champaign, they call it?
Well, this is north of Urbana, yes. My first house I found was 1206 and a half, West East, which was then the last street, Corporate Street, north. Uh-huh. And we lived there 2 years rented. And then the house was sold, and we weren't ready to buy. And we found a house in the 1300 block on Dublin Street all the time. We moved to the south and then over to Swerve. So we lived there 2 years, rented 2 years, and then we bought it to buy. And we lived there 19 years. And then I found this house on Church Street, West Church, 1410 and a half, West Church. And I liked that house, and I said, well, I won't put any more money into the house on Dublin Street, because it looked like, the way circumstances were at the time, that if I had to do it all alone, I probably would lose it. And I found that house and bought it. And I paid cash for it. And then I fixed it up. I got it reasonable. Then my money went into fixing it up. And I lived over there 35 years. So I had to sell then to Mercy Hospital, because they wanted that block for the parking lot. And that was in 74. And I found this house, because it had an apartment already here. And I had put all my money into that house, fixing it up for an income. And in the meantime, my first husband had died, and the second husband had died, and I was on my own. So I had fixed an apartment in the basement over there, which was very comfortable, and kept it rented all the time. And then I had two spare bedrooms that I could rent out to student girls, and they used my kitchen. And I got along very well, but I bought this house reluctantly, but I'm making myself pretty well satisfied here, because it is handy for me. It's still in Havana.
Yeah. Were you, tell us a little bit more about this Mercy Hospital thing. How did they approach you on that? How were your feelings toward that?
Well, I was very much disturbed, but the first time they came to me was 6 years previous to that. But the deal didn't go through. They had all of our homes down for about $9,000. That's what they had figured our homes for. And so they found out that we wouldn't sell for $9,000. And something else, I guess, must have occurred, because they didn't come back on us for it until 74. And then they came back, and they had to give more than they anticipated, but I set up with them.
So
we all did.
Yeah.
All but about two families, because they were willing to sell, because they hadn't put very much in ours, but Mr. Freeman and I had. Mr. Freeman hadn't been there near as long as I had, because I'd been there 35 years. But they had fixed up their house up. And, well, they said that if we didn't sell, they would condemn them. They had a way of getting them, you know. So they knew that. They told me that, well, they kind of used me for the mother of the block.
Yeah.
And they would ask me advice, and I said, finally, when Mr. Barr, John Barr, was working for the hospital, making sales. And he said to me, Miss Chancellor, I'm going to tell you just how it is. He said, now, if you don't sell, they're going to stop up the street, and you won't have any outlet. Well, they couldn't keep me from going out my back, but you know how difficult they knew it would be in the winter, going out my back up on the railroad track to get out. They knew that, you see. So I told Mr. Freeman when he came home, Mr. Freeman, we just might as well still look for a place to stay, I said, because Mr. Barr told me. I had found out that his teacher had taught me English. And I asked him, I said, are you related to Doris Barr? Would you be her husband, brother, anything? He said, I'm her husband. And I let him know that she had taught me English and everything. And that in the meantime, I had graduated and had a little teaching job over there at the St. Mary's School. So he said, well, and he told me the facts about it. He said, that's what they would do. Then they'll condemn your house. So everybody, we felt terribly hurt, but we were forced, you might say, to give up our property.
How long ago was this?
In 74, the spring of 74. So I've been here, this is my fifth summer.
Mm-hmm. So you haven't been here that long?
No, just in this house.
Yeah, you're still adjusting to this.
Right. Uh-huh. But I've been right here in Urbana 60 years.
Yeah. Say about 50 or 60 years ago, can you tell us something about the racial climate?
Well, when I moved here, the racial climate was very good. It was, in some places that you would go, they tell me, I didn't go to very many of the eating places, but they told me it was becoming more prejudiced than it had been. But over in Urbana, the contacts that I had to make was always very good, because there weren't but a few families over here. I could count families, the black families that were over here, from my house all the way back, and the farthest family was this one colored family south of Mildred Allen's home. And I was trying to think of their names, but...
Mildred Allen, was she staying there on
right
Clark
the,
Street
right
in
there.
Urbana?
That's the home place.
Okay, that's West Clark
mm-hmm.
in Urbana.
Mm-hmm. They were living right there when I came here.
So it really wasn't that very many black families
in Urbana.
In Urbana.
Right. Then they begin, when they begin to come in, some, you know, located in Urbana as well as Champaign, but of course more went to Champaign.
When the people came in, you speak of them coming in, where did they come from, these people? That
well, in meeting them around at the churches and things, they see more from Mississippi than any other state. There were a few that I met, but it was from Kentucky. And I would tell them, I said, well, I was born in the state of Kentucky, but I said, I don't remember very much about it. I was 3 years old when my father died and my mother moved to Illinois where her mother was. And I let them know quick, you know, as I said, putting them at ease, I'm in Illinois, because some of them, they seem to be, you know, just a little distant to our people. Getting acquainted and all that. And I said, well, I was born in Kentucky, but I was raised in Illinois.
Were there, as a result of these people migrating from Mississippi, what changed? Or was there any changes? Was there any changes in
Now, you see, as I said, I went out to do day work. And I was treated very nice because I worked with the university people. And they would, some of them, most of them, call me Mrs. Murray. I was working with two families. And the one, I was young, and she was older, and she had these students, professors there. And I could see the prejudice in her, but she was very nice in talking to me and everything. But she would call my first name, so they would be sure to know my first name, because she didn't want to call me Mrs. Murray. I could see that, but I would ignore it, you know. Now, then later on, I worked for some more people, and they never called me anything but Mrs. Murray. They never called me by my first name, the man nor the wife. So there was a difference in the people over there, over on the campus. Then, there was some prejudice in the University of Illinois, but it just depended on the family that you happened to work for. See the difference?
Yeah.
Later on, there was, I learned, a lot of more prejudice in the white people toward the Negroes as they came in larger numbers.
What about the churches, the growth of the churches? Was there any change in, what church did you attend?
I've always attended Bethel as a home church. But I was associated with the Freeville Baptist Church because my mother belonged there. And first, at night, if I went out, I usually would go to their services because it was close to home. See, I was near the church, and she was there. Mother. And I used to think it was. And that we had our Sunday school in the morning a while, and they had theirs in the afternoon. And I would go up there because my husband wasn't a church goer, and I couldn't walk in there before they would ask me to teach the adult class. So I had been associated with them very closely. That's years ago, though. I don't know a dozen people up there now. See, the new people are coming in. Just a few of the older ones I know.
What does Champaign have to offer in the way of entertainment for black people?
At that time?
Yeah.
Nothing but the churches, mostly.
They didn't have
anything because they had no shows. I mean, they had to go to everything they had to go to was white.
Oh.
They would give them entertainments and programs and things in the different churches. They didn't have a library. Just didn't have anything.
That's interesting. Do you know anything about what they Shirley referred to it, Parker's Shacks. That's what they're little, these little houses that are around Parker's funeral home.
You see what about it?
Yeah, do you know anything? There's supposed to be a story of concerning the why they were built. Or
oh, about the time of the influx, the migration of our people north. They did capitalize on it because homes were scarce. And they were allowing it then that they had little coal houses in the back of some kind of a shed that they would turn into a house and rent it.
Uh-huh.
And Parker happened to be one that had quite a few of those little things around him, and then he'd bring in more. And they just did come and start calling the people in Champaign Parker Shacks because they were shacks. It was terrible. When I fixed my apartment in my basement, I fixed it nicely as if I were to live there myself. And I told them, I said, now I planned it, and I was so glad I could have a side door so I wouldn't have to tell people to go to the rear. I had a side door there. This is a side door. And that over there, it was at this side. It wasn't. The house set up high. It was nice and dry. And I put new fixtures on it, and they was all coming sick when I was fixing it. I wanted them to see that I was putting good stuff in there, you know, because I kept it in the bed. I couldn't, you never see vacant. Because of that, you know, I knew what was going on. And I wanted them, because this ain't a basement. Of course, there were plenty of them over on the campus. But I wanted people to know that it was decent. And I told the man that did the plumbing was black. And I told him, I said, I want it fixed just as if I were to live in it myself. Because that's what I wanted to be nice, you know. People weren't going to pay the money. I wanted it to be good. It wasn't fine, but it was good. I put new bathroom fixtures, shower, and shower curtain, stool. I only had one secondhand thing in the plumbing business, and that was the kitchen sink. But it was a good one. And it was a large one. So it was, everything was nice, and I kept it right down. But they were. And when I, first time I rented it, they said, it's a shame that you rent this for $60. At the time, this man said it, I had been renting it cheaper because everything hadn't gone up so, but I had to raise it. He said, just to think what over there at Farmer had, those shacks with no toilets and no water in the house, and different ones. There was a few more that had some in the backyard, rented for $60. And it was in the papers, but they were charging. And people were paying that. And then I had one person move from over there. Then he didn't want to pay his rent after living in that good basement. And then he went off and left me. Oh, and a week's pay. It was peculiar. He didn't want to pay in advance. We find folks like that, you know. Then they get something nice, and they don't want to pay for it. But I was a widow, I guess, and they thought I would put them out. Chicken hearted, but Parker would have put them out. But that's the way it was around those conditions. I was glad, in a way, that they passed the law that you couldn't fix them sex because it was ruining the community. It just ruined the community. You were brought up over there in Champaign. You probably have seen some of them yourself, haven't you?
I sure have. Yeah. Did you rent mainly to students, or did you rent to just, anyone?
The basement, I rented to students and working people, just like I do now. I rent to working people and students upstairs. I have a working man. Now, I've had two student girls, white. I've had more white students than I have black. But I've had, I don't discriminate. The university can't allow them to anyway. And so I don't know whether you're white or black until you get here. I might kind of be detected in the voice or something. And they don't know a lot of times. And some of them like the places, but I can see in their face that they don't, not used to living with blacks, and they don't. They'll say, well, I'll call you back. So, well, I'm used to that, you know. And then I can tell when one is really pleased and don't care, just as long as he gets through school and in a decent place. And I've had graduate teachers, see, they graduate students, and they have been teaching, and they come back to work on the master's degree, men and women.
Yeah,
I'm very familiar with all of that.
I notice here that you completed your GED, and she has 19, and she doesn't know what year.
Oh, that was 71.
1971?
Mm-hmm.
And did you mention that you took a teaching position over here at St. Mary's School?
St. Mary's, yes.
What is that?
Adult education.
Adult education.
Yes, you see, they had that adult education over there, and I went over for a refresher course because I wanted to go to Parkland. And I didn't get my high school diploma, so I went over there. I didn't study for 7 months. And Mr. Sutton kept telling me that I was wasting time. He thought I was ready for my GED. And I said, well, I was waiting on the algebra to come. I didn't have very much of it. And so when they did come, she saw that I could work it. You know, and she told me, she said, well, you don't have to go through all of this. She said, just work one problem of each page. And that's what I did, Mrs. Gerhardt. She taught the GED class. Well, they called it the GED class because it was the two advanced classes, you know. I taught on the fifth grade level because I had to have the slow learners also in there, and I had the foreign students. I helped Gail Rice. She's still up there. I was her assistant after I finished Parkland. But I only studied 7 months, and I took my examination out to the county, and I made the highest grade that had been made up to that time on the Constitution. I was 76. I was 76.
You were 76 when you did?
Right, but I was 76. See, the school year is 71 and 72, you know. But I was 71, and that same fall, I went to Parkland. It was still 71. And my birthday was in October. And by me giving my age and the month, Mrs. Brotherson, the teacher, she remembered it. And she gave me a surprise party. And her birthday is in October too, but I didn't know what date until later on. Hers is not, mine's the 5th. And when I went in that morning, they all come singing happy birthday, Mrs. Stanley. And I said, how did they know? And I said, she said, oh, I know. And I'm going to remember that I had to give my age and the date of my month and everything was all right.
Well, what kind of curriculum did you take while you were at Parkland?
I took the teacher aid program, a teacher's course.
Well, did you all?
I had English.
Yeah.
And psychology. And later I took math, but I took advanced work. See, I didn't. It was a 17-month program. But I, knowing my age, I just didn't pride myself. And he said, 12 hours is a full load. Now you can take 12 hours or 17. And I said, I believe I'll take 12. So my counselor and Mrs. Brotherson both said, I think you're wise to do it. But I saw that I had plenty of time after that when I get out. But But I was glad because, you know, I thought I was being sensible too, since I didn't have to, you know. So I went, my class, they told me, he said, this is your class. I said, well, we have a class reunion. This is your class. So I, some of them, they just fell in love with me, it seemed to me, whether they were nice or were younger than me and everything, but they were not very nice. And they saw that I made good grades, too. That was amazing to them. So when I finished my course, I said, I want my diploma dated for this time of the year. I knew that the graduation wouldn't come up until June, but I wanted my diploma. They said, oh, we'll do that. So the winter quarter, see, I finished. And then, of course, when they got the diplomas made, it was March. Mine's March, dated March 2nd, it's up there. Well, my counselor wanted to know, and Miss Brotherson wanted to know, can't you think of something else that you would like to do? And they said, well, because graduation is in June. I said, well, I hadn't thought about that. And so when I got to thinking about it, and then I went to Mr. Gundy, he said, well, you know, Mr. Tinsley, he said, the money is up there for 2 years. And he said, to tell me, you said you couldn't think of anything you wanted to take. I said, well, I've been thinking about it. I said, I've always wanted to take French. And I tried to get in a French class, and I couldn't. The man couldn't get enough students. He said, I had to have 10, you know, to organize a class. Well, when that down there, it wasn't for 4 men. And so we went on. I never did get in the French class. Well, I took reading. I can't think of the lady's name. I have it in there, though, the book in there. She is a teacher over at the university at Randall, something like that. She had composed a reading book, and we used that. I took that and math, modern math, and and English 3. That's courses. So Mrs. Brotherson went to the class one morning, the new class that came in, you know. She said, do you know we have a graduate student in the class? And well, the others have gone, and I was new to there. This class, she said, in the fall, in the spring, rather. So she told them that they had a graduate student in the class. And they just marveled at that, you know. They didn't know that I had finished a teacher program, and they were just taking it.
How many years or how far have you gone in school prior to
my high school work?
Yeah.
I was 10th grade.
10th grade. Could you tell us what were some of the differences in school education system then as opposed to the way it is now? Is there any difference?
Well, I'll tell you. I went to a school that was segregated, but it was a good school in Southern Illinois. Now the high school, and for years it has been, they built a new one where all the children go together to the high school. But the districts are just like here. Some schools are in the colored zone, mostly where the colored people live, and then that makes it more like the Columbia.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it was a good school. And nobody, I know all, I knew the, and can remember the first graduates that came here to the University of Illinois. They didn't have to take any post-grad work. But since I've been here, some have come in here from other towns, even Springfield, and they had to take post-grad work. They took it right out there at high school, Urbana High. Yes, they did, to get in the university. As a curriculum, it was a good school. Now, I took bookkeeping in the sixth grade. I took ledger in the fifth and sixth grade, what they call ledger. And that's a one step in bookkeeping. Then in the seventh and eighth grade, I took bookkeeping. Well, I was surprised when Gail Rice asked me, she said, Maddie, we called each other by our first name. She said, can you work long division? I said, well, sure, I work long division. I said, if I didn't, I wouldn't be here. Well, she was having to fill in this GED class, and she was taught English. She was an English teacher, but she did have math, too. But that's what she was. She read it. That was her major, was English. And she said, well, I don't know. Well, I did a lot of filling in for her, but I wasn't given anything but teacher aid salary, you know. But she would leave me there, and I did her work. Well, I think she was thinking about sending me in there, but somehow she never did. But I just looked at it. I didn't say anything, because here's where I felt. Now, I'm not going, I can go in there and do that work in Ms. Gerhardt's room. But I didn't think it was fair to put that on me, and then I wasn't getting the $255. That's what I started out with. The next year, I got $285, and that's what I was getting. I was hired for the third year, but see, the money didn't come through the school for the aides. Then I haven't worked since.
Well, you haven't given up yet.
Well, I haven't worked in the school system or anything else, and I hadn't worked for years. I quit doing domestic work when I was 69.
This is side two. We're still in the living room of Mrs. Maddie Tinsley, and we'll proceed from here. What was, I think we were talking in terms of the school system, and you were telling me, Mrs. Tinsley, about how you felt the children were educated in Champaign or Urbana schools as when you first came here as compared to the way they are now, the problems that we're having.
Well, I think they're getting a good education, but I did notice the reading problem. And I asked the teacher why the children didn't read as well as I thought they should read, as the children were read at that level when I was in school. And she told me, they told me too, they said, we don't read in school. And then I asked the teacher about it. She said, well, they don't. They don't read. I said, well, I can't understand how the board is going to allow this to go on so long, and if they expect these children to go out and teach, what can they teach if they haven't had? And I was so glad when I learned, when I read and kept up, you see, when the professors over there on the campus was finding fault of the reading, and this lady that put out this reading book. And I noticed that they have been dissatisfied about the reading system in the school, and now it's going back to the things that I had way years ago. And they're stressing more phonics and more reading. You know that yourself now, that they are stressing more reading. Professor Corbin spoke about the reading system. So I think in my time that the education comparatively good to this day and time.
And how long have you been teaching for the record, how long have you been teaching Sunday school
here? I taught 59 years.
So you
right
know what
down
you're
right here.
Yeah. And
I taught 59 years down here at Bethelehem Church.
At Bethelehem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said the way that the children were situated through the school system, they went to Hayes. Was it Hayes School first?
Right. Well, yes, Hayes School first, mm-hmm. out here.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then to Lincoln. And then Thornburg, and then high school. That's the way we went.
Well, that's...
See, there was Hayes used to go, I think it was the fifth grade, maybe. That was the highest. And the later they added to the sixth grade. So they have to go from there to Thornburn was fifth and sixth.
Okay, this is Thornburn.
Or either sixth and seventh. This was Lincoln.
Lincoln. Okay, Lincoln has fifth and sixth.
It did. They would go to Thornburn was junior high. That was junior high. My children were in school. Junior high.
Okay.
Thornburn was a junior high. And it was a sixth and seventh grade.
Okay, was this Thornburn, was this school an integrated
seventh
school?
Seventh and eighth grade,
time?
I meant to say. They were seventh and eighth grades. That was junior high.
Mm-hmm. Was this an integrated school, or was it predominantly black?
No, all of the schools were integrated. No,
oh, okay.
No schools were predominantly black, because there weren't but a few colored people over here.
That's right.
Over white people used to live all around up here, out here. We were all white, but I don't know. I had white neighbors across the street in our block on my side, on Eat Street. In my block, there weren't any whites, but across the street they were. So this has always been integrated up until a few years ago when they began to die out and the youngsters go someplace else, and then the influx of the colored people, they would find homes out here. No, the Atlanta schools have always been mixed.
Good education at one time.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was good.
Well, I think that I don't have any more questions to ask. Have anything to tell me?
Well, nothing, only that I still think that it's up to the children to how much they get out of school is what you put, the time you put in it. I think you have to listen to learn. And a lot of times it's not all the teacher's fault, because sometimes the children just don't, they're not interested, and they let them go on and promote them and get rid of them. And I think the children that have made good in the school system are the ones that put something into their time. I think that goes for any time that you're a student in anything. I think you've got to put something in it to get something out. Do you agree with me?
I do.
Yes, it's really true, because I, as I said, I've taught Sunday school for years and years. I was glad to get to teach on in the other field, because I've always, that was my talent for teaching, and that was my goal. I married, but my goal was to be a teacher. And so that's what I worked for, and I was glad to get a chance to go back to school. And that's why I took the teacher aid program. At my age, I wanted to get out and use it, rather than try to work for a four-year degree at that age. You see, I didn't feel that I had that much time left. And that's why I took the teacher aid program. I said, I know I won't be getting the top salary, but I will be in the school system and doing what I wanted to do.
Well, do you encourage other people, say other senior citizens or other people your age, to do that same thing, to go back to school if they can?
I have always taught in my Sunday school class, I always stressed a religious education. Your education is completed without a religious education. But I said, you must carry God along in your work, but get an education out of school, so you won't be able, so you'll be able to do different things. I've always stressed what I'm doing to other children. And of course, I felt like I didn't say anything to the older people, because I thought if they could see what I did, because it might take it the wrong way, you know. But if they could see what I did, that they feel like if they wanted to, they could do the same thing. And I've had several in my church told me that I gave them an incentive to go back to school. Yeah. And there for a while, a different one was popping up saying, well, she's going to Parkland, she's doing this. And they would come to me and say, well, how did you get in? How do you go about getting a GED? And one of them was Mrs. Hudson. Mrs. Hudson, she's a beautician, and she wanted some more education. She said she could get a GED. And she wanted to do something. She thought she was going to want to go into real estate, but she finally told me that she really didn't have her high school diploma. She took night courses over here, because her work was in the daytime. See, I wasn't working. And she got her GED. And then we had two or three that came to me and told me that I gave them an incentive to go to school. Charles Latham went to Parkland a little while, and well, different ones, you know. And Bethel, they went back to school, so I don't know whether he finished it. No, I know he didn't, but they were taking some courses there for a while, I think.
Sounds real nice.
But I got to teach several of the older people up there, you know, and they wanted me to go back. I said, someday you will hear her name is. She lives on Grove Street. She's nice looking brown. asking all the things of the Lord. I never can think of a name when I want to. But anyhow, she said, I don't get to go to school much, she has to work. But she said when she was went back up there, and she said, you were such a good teacher. She said, I was a good teacher, man.
Well, Miss Tinsley, I'm going to thank you for letting us come into your home and giving you this interview.
Would you like to play that for me?
Sure, I would.
So I can hear it. Just here.